Welcome to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. This is the place where we help committed couples who want to level up their marriage experience newfound clarity, hope, and confidence. We're Matthew and Kim, co-hosts and husband and wife.
In 26 years together, we've seen a lot and never thought it could be as good as it is right now. We're here to help you successfully navigate the messy, dirty, and wonderful world of marriage.
We believe all couples deserve and are capable of experiencing an extraordinary and fulfilling marriage. And each week, we're bringing you life lessons from real-life successful couples to help you grow and strengthen your relationship.
We'll get started right after this message.
If you want to learn how to experience the best, most fulfilling year of your marriage, we invite you to order Matthew's new book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. You can get it at Amazon.com or visit Matthew's website, www.matthewphoffman.com. Again, that's Amazon.com or www.matthewphoffman.com. And now, back to the show.
Welcome to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast recap episode of George and Nancy Hensley. This sweet couple has been married a short 62 years, and they are still going strong. They are still having fun together. They're playing together and prioritizing their relationship.
Yeah, I mean, they've been married 7 years longer than I've been alive.
Isn't that crazy?
Or I should say 37 years, because I'm not 55, baby. I can't drive 55.
Not you.
Nope. Oh man.
Well, I enjoyed sitting down with them so much because they have so much wisdom and a beautiful story to share in terms of their relationship, where it's been and where they are now. And I think that I'm just going to start off with saying this couple has a motto that everybody should have. It is something that they have carried on for generations, and even have this motto inscribed on their wedding rings.
And what is it? I mean, I love this. Such a cool takeaway.
They have inscribed on their wedding rings, each for the other, both for God. And what that George said really means to them is that first, they want the very best for each other.
Yeah.
So meaning he wants the absolute best for Nancy, and she feels the same way about him, all under the framework of their faith, which is so foundational.
Yeah. Yeah. Huge.
So I really appreciated them sharing that with us. And they've carried that theme out in their relationship for the past 62 years.
They have. And what's so cool about what Kim was sharing, that each for the other, both for God. Yes, it's inscribed on their wedding rings, but their parents did it and their grandparents did it. So yeah. This is the third. This thing has gone on for, if we add it all up, it's over probably 100 and some odd years. Of three. And what a generational gift to give. And if you had, if we had a motto or a theme, Kim, I mean, you know, Matthew 5:16, I say, is kind of our family mission statement, you know,
yes.
Let your light so shine among others that people will glorify your Father who's in heaven. Right. In other words, and that's another way of saying it, but I could adopt this as well, because if we're each for each other, that means, man, everything we do, the litmus test, how we measure it is it good for them and is it good for us? If we just use that simple adage, that ruler for all the decisions, the things we think, say, and do, and you know, is it representing a power higher than us? And is it good for them and good for me? So simple, but so powerful. And they came back to it. And that kind of really talks about their commitment. I mean, it's all about commitment, right? It comes back to that first C, that we love in our platform, and it's one of the three C's, and it's the cornerstone for every relationship. And I think George kind of said it goes back to I do. He goes, when I said I do in our wedding ceremony, he, you know, that's until death do us part. In other words, and I am going to be for her forever, as long as I can, and I'm going to make sure that we're both for God. And so he wants what's best for her. He looks out for her. You know, he kind of used the example. He goes, man, if she's in there cooking a meal and slaving away, then I get to do the dishes. He doesn't say I have to. He didn't say I'm gonna, or I guess I should, or I oughta. It's his privilege. He goes, man, she did something for me to give of herself that's going to nourish and feed and support and fill me up. Then I get to do something for her. And that attitude, you know, one of the biggest surprises, Kim, I had, we've shared this privately, and I'm going to share it for our listeners, is you look at a couple that's been 62 years married, grown up in the 40s and 50s, and you would make assumptions about what they're going to be like. Oh, they're probably going to be traditionalist. He works. She's in the home, right? He's in control. He says, you know, what the dad says goes, and she kowtows. They couldn't have been more different. And this couple, I think why they've been married as long as they have and they're so successful is because they are so progressive in their thought. And what's so cool is this didn't happen in the last 5 or 10 years. This happened from day one for them. You know, Nancy talked about studying and taking courses before they got married, learning how to be a good partner and a good spouse, and then having this commitment for each other. It's just so, so beautiful. And I love that they get it and they are so excited and loving and into each other. And their commitment is rock solid.
Definitely. I think that that was one of the things that really stood out to me is that they were willing to take these courses and to do things to really help and benefit their marriage early on and just continued to demonstrate those things throughout the last 62 years. So they really took learning those things to heart and continued on with those throughout their marriage. And we know that anything that we can do to increase the way we communicate and anything that we can do to benefit our relationship just goes such a long way.
Yeah, it does. And I think that one of the ways they did that, Kim, another one of my takeaways or just a tool, you know, you people ask if you want to know what's something you can do to create that time, that bond, that investment together. And Nancy said right away, she goes, you know what? We've got, she goes, I know it's not popular for a lot of people to have breakfast or have breakfast together. She goes, our ritual is we have breakfast together. We hold hands. We say a prayer. We pray together. We give thanks for everything we have. And they connect with each other. They get grounded and they celebrate each other every day. So that breakfast ritual. So my question to you all, our listeners, is what kind of rituals do you have with your number one? What things do you do all the time? Maybe it's not every day, but what things do you do often that give you that chance to come together, to ground and show that appreciation? And she talked about, she said, you know, it builds trust in their relationship because they feel like they can handle anything because they're connected, they're grounded. You know, I kind of pull it back, Kim, to my faith tradition. I think you and I each have different routines that we do every day, right? Different things that we do to start our days and ground ourselves. And that tradition allows us to be prepared to handle and weather the storms. And they've done this in their relationship with that morning ritual for breakfast, having the coffee, having the meal, holding hands, connecting physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and praying. And I love that. So I think that's really critical.
Well, and I love also that George said, this is an opportunity for me to also express gratitude and to tell Nancy, I am grateful for you because, and you know, he throws it out there. And she said, when I hear that appreciation and gratitude expressed, I hold my head up and my shoulders back. And I'm just so proud and it feels so good. It just really gets me ready for the day. And I'm ready to just, you know, move forward and tackle anything that the day might bring.
Yeah, that validation is so important, Kim. I think you even talked about it in the interview. You said, you know, when a spouse validates the other one, it confirms, it gives us safety, it gives us security, it makes us feel great and uplifted about the relationship. And one of the biggest tragedies in relationships is when couples don't speak the good they see and experience with one another. They keep it to themselves. You know, it's one thing to think about it, but you got to speak it. You got to express that gratitude for the other person over the little things and over the big things, because it's just giving you a chance to pour in, right? To lean in and pour in to your spouse.
Yeah. Well, I had another thing that I noted that really stood out to me. And that was when we talked about families of origin. George's background in being raised in faith, his parents had different religions, but he was raised in a Christian home. His father, however, had been married once before. And in that previous marriage, his wife, of only a very short amount of time, passed away during childbirth with his first child. So very early on, he lost a wife and child, remarried, and then George was born and his mom passed when he was 14. So here's dad losing a second wife, right? And
young kids.
Then, yeah. Yep. Has a young family and then remarries and was able to really keep moving forward in his life without being bitter and without having resentment and still having a very gentle and kind heart in raising his children. That to me was a huge standout.
Huge. And what's so cool, Kim, you and I talked about a little bit when we were kind of doing our notes and checking out this first episode, is take a step back generationally and look at George's father. Look at what his father demonstrated to George of what manhood and looks like.
What a legacy.
What a legacy. So his dad gave that to George, and George learned how to model that unconditional love, that prioritization, that grace, that service. And George got a little teary. He kind of choked up and he goes, you know what? He goes, I looked at my dad, lost these two women and then found this other one. And he said, when he found that third wife, he goes, I wanted to make darn well sure she knew she was a part of this family. As a 14 or 15 year old, he wrote a letter to her and said, welcome to our family. I'm glad you're here. Because George said, I felt we were now complete because there was a woman in the house. My dad was happy. She expressed love to me. I was happy. And I wanted to make darn well sure. So here he is as a 14 or 15 year old modeling and demonstrating what he learned from his dad about grace and love and prioritization and servant leadership. No wonder they've had such a wonderful marriage.
He brought that to his own family. He brought that to his relationship with Nancy. And then obviously their three daughters later on, that gentle, kind, wonderful spirit.
Loving and selfless. And I think that Nancy said, you know what? When she's experienced that from George, she gave a great quote, and I got to share it with you guys. She said, it gives you more space in your soul to be kind and loving to other people when people pour into you and lift you up. Yeah. George and Nancy both model that in their relationship so beautifully. And man, when you get that, you feel like your batteries get charged up and you get to give more to other people. So great, great takeaway and such a perfect, beautiful modeling of what manhood and that unconditional love looks like.
Definitely. Fast forward a little bit to communication and conflict resolution. They gave such a cute story that I just really would love to share. You can go back and listen to this podcast, obviously, in its entirety. But, you know, they're young married. They've got baby, and he's still trying to figure out that balance of work, being able to play a little bit, and then obviously supporting Nancy at home. And he shared a story. He went out to play. He liked to play mini golf with this group of friends, and that was kind of his guy's night out. And he goes out and he plays mini golf, and he comes back, and Nancy is sitting quietly folding diapers and was obviously giving him a little bit of a cold shoulder, I think. And he realized that maybe that wasn't such a great plan, was to go out with the guys, leave her home while she was, you know, probably cleaning up from dinner and then sitting at home folding diapers. And so she was upset and she threw a diaper at him. And then he threw the diaper back at her, and it just became this sort of playful, humorous moment of expressing anger, and then it turning into just a funny situation. But I love how they added humor to a point in time when there was conflict and she wasn't happy with how the evening had turned out, but, you know, this is how they sort of dealt with it. And it has become something that they've referred to later on in years, you know, well, you know, want to get the diapers out when they've had conflict. So
make me throw a diaper at you.
That's exactly right.
A great way to cool each other off with that story. And, you know, there's nothing wrong in a relationship. Everybody needs, and we talked about this. We've talked about this in other episodes. We've talked about this in the Vaden episode. You know, you got to understand what are the right mix of my time, your time, and our time. And George kind of talked about this situation. He goes, I love golf and I love to golf, and Nancy doesn't like to do that, but understands it's important to him. So she gives it to him. But he said, you know, I got to know when it's the right time for me to do those things. And guys and women, this doesn't just apply to guys, but when you and your relationship are making something about you more important than something about us, that's a problem, because you don't have your prioritization straight. And so if you're and you know, that night he was not really aware, in the whole diaper scenario, he wasn't aware that, you know, the work was piling up, and she's like, you know, I felt like Cinderella. I'm here home working and he's off having fun. So if you're going to do something for yourself and it is not good for the relationship, that means it's not good for you to do for yourself, and that you're taking advantage. And guys, and women both, you know, you have an emotional bank account in your relationship. You know, Stephen Covey uses that term. I love it. I ascribe to it. And if you are making too many withdrawals from that account, or you make a big withdrawal, you got to understand, you got to fill it back up before you can make another withdrawal again. And when you're doing something for yourself and it's taking too much out of your spouse, doesn't mean it's the right time and place for you to do it. And you got to have that dance and that understanding.
And I think it all comes back to communication, which is, let's sit down and talk about what does Kim time look like? What does Matthew time look like? What does our family time look like? What does our work time look like? I think it's really important to have those conversations and not just make assumptions about it, because that's what creates conflict later.
When it comes to creating a kick-ass marriage, do you ever wonder what you could be doing better? Have you ever thought how helpful it would be to be a part of a like-minded community of other imperfect couples who want to level up in their number one relationship? Come visit Kick-Ass Couples Nation, where you can talk with people just like you who are looking for ways to invest in and increase their joy, commitment, and fulfillment in their most important human relationship. You'll have access to a team of licensed marriage therapists, coaches, articles, podcasts, live webinars, and more. Just visit MatthewPHoffman.com so you can learn more about a community that's ready to help you level up. That's MatthewPHoffman.com, so you can become of the growing Kick-Ass Couples Nation right now. Yeah. And I think good communication can lead to less conflict. And I think one of my big takeaways, Kim, kind of pulling off that conflict resolution and getting back to the idea of communication, you got to have a willingness to listen. George said, you know, you can't come to the relationship or to a discussion or to communication with a chip on your shoulder. And it's really about expectation. You can't come and say, well, she's going to do this. She said this last time. She's going to say it this time, or she always, or he always. So when you come to the relationship, to that communication, you got to have an expectation of goodness. And you got to be willing to lean in, to listen. And good communication is more about listening than it is about talking. If you just can't wait to get your thought out, or I want to say what I have to say and say my piece, then that's not going to be quality communication. So it's really important to make sure that your expectation is one of love, of goodness, and of making sure you understand your spouse before, you know, seek first to understand before you seek to be understood. And I think that George and Nancy did that beautifully. No chip on the shoulder, genuine communication, a willingness to listen and make sure that it's not a, oh, here we go again, but it's having a positive and loving expectation from your spouse.
Yeah, one of the other things that I really appreciated in our conversation with them is that after 62 years of marriage, you know, George said, you have to keep romance in your marriage.
Yeah.
And that's something that, you know, 10 years into marriage, a lot of us are not good at.
Kim talks about keeping the romance alive. And there's a lot of little things. We've talked about it a lot with other people and other podcasts and other people that we've had the pleasure of interviewing. But I loved when it comes down to your words, what are you saying? It comes to about what are you doing? And George said, you know, I say, hey, how about a little drive? He said, how about a little drive-by kiss? You know, and so he'll be playful with her, with Nancy. And he goes, now you got to make sure it's a proper kiss, because a proper kiss or a kiss, and Nancy goes, we call that a smooch, I think, is holding it and making sure that you're enjoying it. And you guys have heard me say the 7-second kiss. So if you haven't had a 7-second kiss with your spouse lately, I just want to say, make sure you're giving your spouse that proper kiss. It's a smooch, like George and Nancy said, and that you're holding it for 7 seconds and really leaning in, and you'll just, you know, God, go try it. Try it a lot. In fact, I would encourage you, go for those drive-by kisses every now and then. And so much to learn from these guys of 62 years of marriage and going strong and keeping it fresh. Loved our time with them. They were so dear and so endearing. And I only hope, since you and I are going to be married for 75 is my goal, so we want to make it 13 years longer than they did. So that means we're pushing past marriage after 100 years of of being together. It was 103. If we're going to be married 75 years, Kim, we're going to make it to 103-year birthdays. Okay?
All right, let's go.
Let's go. So Kim, where can people go if they want to learn how to have a marriage and work towards 62 years of marriage? What can people do to get there?
All you need to do is go to MatthewPHoffman.com, where you can become a member of Kick-Ass Couples Nation. You can also find Matthew's book, Kick-Ass Husband. And you can learn more about this podcast and find other episodes of some terrific interviews that we've had. So go to MatthewPHoffman.com to learn more about Kick-Ass Couples Nation.
We'll look forward to seeing you next time. Make sure you give us reviews, like us, love us, share us with your friends, and we'll see you next time. And remember, what should they remember, Kim?
Happily ever after does not just happen. It's on purpose. That's all we've got for this episode of the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. If you like the content of this show, you'll love Matthew's newly released book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. To receive a digital mini book of quotes and images from the book, all you have to do is rate this show and leave a review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to listen. Then email us a screenshot of your review at podcast@kickasscouplespodcast.com, and we'll get it over to you right away. Until next time, remember,
Happily Ever After doesn't just happen. It's on purpose.